Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers. And don't forget to search WWGH and take advantage of the many talk shows that we offer you. If you would like to call in during this time on the air, if you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-361-1162, and we will be glad to answer your questions if we can. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People and also the chat, and today is the chat, and excuse me for that. I have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and it goes, free produce market every second Saturday of every month, and that will take place this Saturday. 5 and 7 is 12. I think that'll be the 12th of October. If you have need of free produce, and if not, let someone else know that it will be available. Address again is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Please show up with your state ID or your driver's license, and those who live in your household. Thank you for that. We have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with your real estate needs, with 25 years of experience working for you, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Their telephone number is 740-262-0939. I'd like to start my show with a thought for today, and I have one, and it's titled Stillness. Stillness of spirit doesn't mean lack of movement, but that thought and feelings move in the right direction naturally. Sometimes I have a question about my thoughts and feelings moving the right way naturally. Sometimes I have to grab them and pull them back, right? Mm-hmm. Let me introduce you to my guest today, starting with Whitney Gurman. She is the extension educator at Ohio State University of Marion. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
I'm so glad you could come and be with us. Also, Johnny Johnson, he is a community organizer, also affiliated with Ohio State University.
I'm affiliated by co-teaching Community Voices.
Community Voices, okay. That works. Mm-hmm. And also...
Tim Jones.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. Now, who are you affiliated with?
Pretty much, I've just been brought on board with Johnny and Whitney, bringing just a different level of expertise. Member of Marion community, so.
Good. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
And my daughter, Dacia Wade, she's also been working with me on the chat for several weeks now. Yes. And hi, Dacia, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad everyone could come and be a part of the show. All righty, now, we have... done our thought for today, stillness. Does that relate to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You two have to share a mic if that's not.
That's fine.
Okay. Now, what's been going on with the Community Voices?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. We just graduated our first cohort from Community Voices. We did, 10 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 weeks with about 9 community members that span a lot of diversity, business owners, local activists, church community members, and we're really excited about some of the things that we're gonna happen in the future.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
What do you guys do? Like, what do you do?
that's a good question. So for our Community Voices class, we taught a 10-week community-based leadership class, and it was basically we set principles of community organizing, and then we looked at different issues in the community: transportation, health, housing, food access, early childhood education. And then after about 5 to 6 weeks, then we decided to hone in on one particular issue.
Mm-hmm. Whitney. Yeah, I think the reason Community Voices got started from Ohio State's perspective is we would attend meetings, and a lot of decisions were being made by organizations and institutions, including Ohio State, that didn't really have public participation from people that were most affected by the issue. So we began thinking, like, how do we co-produce with people in the community and kind of balance the power at meetings so that it's, you know, people from the bottom up and top down. Where can we meet in the middle? And so we're hoping Community Voices continues to evolve to be that. Throughout the program, we looked at principles for democratic organizing that really speak to building solidarity with one another and mutuality, letting people speak for themselves, being inclusive. There's about 6 or 7 principles, and some inspiration from Emergent Strategy. An author in Detroit, Adrienne Marie Brown, really informed a lot of the work that we do together, and that what we can do at the small scale, we can do at the large scale.
Okay, great. So that seems to be working well, getting the community's participation in your meetings. And have they been voicing their opinions? And what issue are you working on right now? You said just one issue, right, at a time.
After, you know, 10 weeks of talking through all these different issues, we decided that we wanted to work on food access and food security. And that was because on the West End, we found that there is more of a food desert. There's not a grocery store. There's not access really to fresh foods. And we had an organization called Autistic Support and More that they supply fresh vegetables over the summer for different families that are maybe struggling with poverty. So we decided that we wanted to put our resources behind them. And that was after everyone in our cohort went around and was thinking about what should we hone in on. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we're going to be working with them on one of their urban farm initiatives.
Right.
And over the last couple of weeks, they've solidified a couple partnerships. One is a partnership with Marion City Schools to work on their urban gardens, particularly like Benjamin Harrison and I think also Taft. And then they also have some partnerships that are coming up with, like, Lowe's and some of the community churches. I don't know if you want to speak to May's.
Yeah, I was going to mention May's Temple, too. You know, I think the May's Temple example is a good one because the congregation there, Pastor Jackson, really had this idea about developing an urban farm, a community garden. And I mean, he'll tell you he didn't know anything about farming or gardening to begin with, but it was then a perfect match for folks that went through Community Voices that had a lot of skills related to gardening. So pairing them together, and Becky and Terry Shelter volunteered at the garden and helped support the work that he was doing. And I know there's a lot of future plans, but it was a really nice collaboration between the church community and the neighborhood and people that just wanted to help.
Right, right. So how does the food pantries play into this? Are these the people that you're talking about, do they not have access to that, or is there a transportation deficit, or what's going on with that?
That's a really great question.
Something that Becky kind of shared with us is the food pantries offer a lot of support to the community, but some people with disabilities have dietary restrictions.
True.
And the food pantry is not well positioned to acquire healthy food all the time, just the way consumers aren't. Usually they're purchasing their food from a place like Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and here's what you can purchase, and there's only so much. So we're looking to add value to the project by this Voices for Food initiative that would kind of partner people like Becky that grow locally food with food pantries mm-hmm. and really help the food pantries design more inclusive ways to serve people, labeling their food. It's not just people with disabilities, people with diabetes, any kind of health condition.
Right, right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, too, you know, because a lot of their things are like food, processed food, mm-hmm. like canned foods and pasta.
And a cereal. Lot of their produce is, like, dated. Like, it's right. on its way out. So yeah. it's kind of like you want more fresh food. You don't want to take it home and your house fills up with gnats right. because you wanted something to eat. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And a lot of fruit you can't keep, like, in the refrigerator or something. And if it's already going bad, it's already drawing the bugs because it's already drawing the bugs.
Yeah.
They come to rotten fruit. It's full of, like, gnats and...
Yeah. Unhealthy.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. That's unhealthy.
It is. Yeah. And people, you know...
But if you're hungry...
And if the meat and stuff is bad or whatever, you know, people have that trick of soaking it in salt water or whatever the case is, but you can really get sick from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. Oh, wow. I didn't think about that. So I guess that's also a concern. And I don't know why they have to wait till... produce and things are so outdated to share it, you know, grocery stores, they're already moving it out the way after a couple of days. How long does lettuce last?
Mm-hmm.
Not long.
Yeah. Maybe a week if it's not open.
Oh, you're right. Maybe.
Maybe a week, yeah. A
couple of days sometime. I had to throw
Even
it in the
fresh
trash.
In the store and it's not open, it'd be turning brown already and things like that, you know. And then they'll mark it down, but it's already, if you don't eat it today, it's not no good.
True, true.
Yeah.
So and then the food pantries get it after that.
After the day,
So why not bring proximity to local food that's locally raised, and it can also stimulate the local economy by putting those dollars. Not that we don't want to support Mid-Ohio Food Bank. We love Mid-Ohio Food Bank, but we could also be supporting people that are growing here locally.
So how can somebody like me get involved in your program?
Yeah, that's good. So we have we haven't decided on the next cohort as far as Community Voices goes, but we are looking in the spring. We're looking to do more urban farming. In November, what we're going to do, we're going to go to Mansfield because Mansfield has some terrific work happening around Ohio Microform Project, and what they're trying to do, they're trying to teach people skills how to do urban farming. But then make sure that those skills are employable. And then, because if we can keep those dollars back in the community, we can train people on urban farming, but then we can also get them to be almost like licensed to be urban farming. You can kind of grow your own food.
And sell it.
Yeah, and sell it. So like one of the urban farmers that I follow, his name is Ron Finley out of South Central. And he says all the time, if you can grow your own food, it's like growing your own money. So we're trying to get involved in the Ohio Microfarm Project. And then me and one of my friends, we're going to start a cohort of community-based leadership for formerly incarcerated people because we're quite interested in helping people who are formerly incarcerated. And that's going to kick off in February.
Oh, really?
But if we get your contact information, we can get you plugged in with some of our exciting activities that we're going to be doing. And I don't know, Whitney, have we heard much about our urban farming class that might kick off in the spring?
Yeah, so actually it will be around February or March where OSU Extension will offer Urban Master Farming class because people want to grow their own food, but this class will give them the technical skills. And we'll likely be hosting that at Mays Temple. They'll help support them. And I know next summer they've talked about not just growing the food, but like what you're saying is grow the food to sell the food, and that can support the church, the community. And
right, because we were thinking about growing a garden in the back of our church also. And I go to True Faith with Pastor Mike Wade, but me and my cousin, which is another one of our youth, was trying to get the ground till this year to get it prepared for next year and like you know cover it or whatever for next spring so that we can start trying to learn how to garden.
Now I have a question though, because typically what I see is like when they do the urban farming, people get it started, but then throughout the year They just kind of let it go, and the weeds and stuff begin to grow.
Right.
So would these guys kind of be like the overseers too, just making sure?
Yeah.
Make sure it stays afloat.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I go out to Sawyer Ludwig all the time, and I'm always pulling the weeds because they have about 8 boxes out there, and it's what. Let me see. They have cabbage. They have mint. They have basil. They have red and green tomatoes, rhubarb, asparagus. Mm. But like you're saying to me, no one is really taking care of it. The idea of starting an urban garden, urban farm is really cool.
It's work.
At first. But it's work. Yeah. It's real, real work.
Yeah, it is.
So with Terry and Becky, the plan that they've worked out with Marion City Schools is to kind of take over their boxes, and they would do a lot of the work, whether it's weeding, watering, harvesting, and that type of thing. But one of the things that we're also hoping is that they do some of the teaching too. If True Faith would like to do something around a urban garden, that not only OSU Extension would provide some education, but also Terry and Becky could provide mentorship and work together. Right. And there was also a partnership with Mace Temple and Jason Schauber, where he did a lot of the work over there with tailing. Mm-hmm. So there are partnerships that we think that we could invest in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're thinking about having a garden, I mean, reach out to OSU Extension, because we have dollars that can pay for your starter plants, your seeds, small equipment.
Mm, that's great.
And then, Jason Schauber has been a tremendous resource to us. He can help till the land for you, prep the land. We can print and help advertise. Another thing that's been discussed is Reverend Heber Brown III came to Marion County and talked about a Black Church Food Security Network. Mm-hmm. So having Black churches in Marion organize themselves, because you might have people that have, you know, great kitchens or that could do cooking classes. You might have a congregation that's really skilled at agriculture. So sharing and networking among each other can kind of build this whole
community
system up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I was wondering, just because it's just a concern of mine, because I do have a son that came up. I mean, he's in his 20s now, but he came up kind of misled, but have you guys considered making like some type of thing with the probation department, like for the troubled youth, that, you know, community service and things like that, so that they can maybe learn a trade, or they might be interested in it, and it could change their life around, and that's good for the community too.
That's a really good idea. I haven't talked to the probation office, but I have talked to legal aid about being a partner if we were to teach a 10 to 15 week leadership class, and maybe urban garden would be a part of that. Legal aid would be able to help us do some of the work.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't went the way towards the courts and probation. I've gone the way towards folks that are going to advocate for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
So folks maybe in the school system,
mm-hmm.
also legal aid, also places like United Way, maybe OSU Extension, getting some of those resources that are already out there, and trying to teach leadership skills, because that's where it's really based on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's so important, to have leadership skills, because a lot of people think they're leaders, but they really don't have the skills to lead, and a lot of times they end up being led.
Yeah, that's real.
You know, by other people. It's a very strong position to be a leader.
For sure.
It really is.
Well, one thing we talk about in the leadership program is we always do identity wheels to talk about how our various identities reflect our leadership style, and also how people perceive our leadership.
Okay.
So just, I mean, take the intersection of being female and being white. Mm-hmm. In one instance, I have a lot of power.
Right.
In others, I might be more vulnerable, and so how that manifests itself in different environments is a critical piece to the program, helping people think through that.
It is very critical piece to the process, and being in the community and out front, you know. And thank God for you, Whitney. Really, thank God for you. Did you have anything else to say?
Not at this time.
you know, and I, as you all were talking, it just took me back to my mother and my father and my aunts and uncles, how they tilled the ground every year and had these huge gardens, like a block long almost, and every day would let other people, well, you can have this piece, this much, and that much, and that much. And my, like we were saying, it takes work. My mother and father would go there faithfully till, you know, and pull weeds and take the hoe and stir up the ground around the seeds and the plants themselves, put the dust out there to keep the bugs from eating it, you know, and even at the end, a lot of times those weeds would be there, but once when the spring would come, they would start digging it again, you know, cleaning it out for another year. And you know, even the Bible talks about planting your seeds, and like the seventh year, I think you had to let the land rest. But you know, it's nothing new. We're going back to basics, right? We're going back to basics, and that more or less makes it those we're making the citizens more responsible for their lives instead of always depending on someone else. If you can have a garden and grow your own food and providing them a way to sell and produce generate money, you know, that they can use. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, you know. And it the thing of it is that we're going back to basics. We're going back to Bible days.
And knowing our ancestral traditions. I mean, knowing, connecting those youth with the elders in the community to learn those practices that can't be taught easily online.
Not only that, you know, I always look at it as a ploy to teach. You know, conversations start when you're working. Just tend to strike up a conversation. That's when the learning things begin to start. And I think that's real important for the elderly to connect with the youth. Because most of the time when we go back, our grandmothers, and they know a lot about tilling and gardening. Because I remember coming up, my grandma always had a garden in her backyard. I used to have the hole and dig holes in the yard. I used to get in trouble for it. But, you know, that's just something just to kind of share stories and experience and those things. So that's, I always look at it as a beautiful thing, as a bridge almost.
It is.
As a bridge. And then not only that, you're proud of your work. You know, like my cousin, he has a tomato garden. Went to his house, was probably one of the best tomatoes I had. Not just saying that because he grew it.
He nurtured it. He nurtured that.
So the food is medicine.
Amen.
We eat right. We feel better.
That's true.
Period.
Live longer.
We got to go back. We got to go back to that basis, because when we grow it ourselves, we know it's not having all these pesticides put in and all this, you know, it's clean.
Clean
is so important.
It is so important, especially in today's medicine field. It's like there's always a new disease or a new condition striking up. Like, where'd that come from, you know? But it has a lot to do with our food. And someone was just saying before I came, not even thinking this was our subject, how they're injecting the meat, you know, so it'll grow faster, so they can get meat out there. So we have we have to be kind of choicy, I guess, about
not only that, there's always a recall on the vegetables in the grocery stores with the things that are contaminated in the meat. So how is there E. coli or salmonella poisoning in my lettuce? Like, what did you do? Like, what happened? Was the chickens over there mating or something? Like, how'd it get there?
What's running through the soil?
Like, what are you using? And then, you know, but by the time you recall it, somebody didn't eat it.
That's true.
So by the time you catch it, somebody, you ain't catch it till somebody ate it.
Right, and knew they got sick.
So think of all the people that bought that and ate it and ingested it.
And diagnosed it,
That's why it's important to pray over our food, though.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's back to basics. You know, Lord, whatever in here, take it out. Let it be nourishment for my body, you know, for my family. But I am. Who would have ever thought we'd have to go all the way back? We're looking at new technology, right? And the cell phone and the computers.
But honestly, I think that's the reason why we got to go back. Because nowadays, we have access to so much information.
Right.
It's right there at our fingertips. So now we know, you know, and it only makes sense to go back to the basics, to do things the right way.
The right way.
Because I look at how technology came in. okay, you look at the burger joints. Back in the day, you know, you get the patties, you put it all together, and then, you know, it's 100% beef, and then somebody thought about a faster way. What's a faster way to make this? What's a faster way to produce? What's a faster way to get it out? Okay, technology will help spring that, but then what's the aftermath of that?
What are we eating?
Now, what are we eating?
Right.
So I think the more information that we get out there, the more we begin to understand, it's all simple. The basics work. The foundation will always be the best teacher, you know, the best the best ploy to go back to. So
that's true.
And plus with the social media, like, we see everything now. You know what I mean? Like, you're not really getting away with too much, and then it just kind of, only way to do it is if we take control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we do it ourselves. You want something done right? They say what?
Do it yourself. Do it yourself. So you can't blame no one but you, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that works. And community voices. Now, when you have your meetings, how many people show up? Is it well attended to or populated?
Yeah. We had about 9 participants in this cohort.
Okay.
At first, we started out with about 15, mm-hmm. but then 9 really finished out the whole attendance with us.
Okay. Well, I guess that's not too bad.
Yeah,
huh?
It was a big commitment because it was from July to September. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and they were with us like a couple hours. Yeah. So, you know, we felt really happy with the turnout. And with that small group, we could have those deep conversations and really get to the work that we could do together.
Good.
Yeah, my only issue was the time frame. I couldn't make it from work. I was working like,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes you want to be there, but.
And 2 hours is a long meeting. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say 2 hours is long for church.
Yeah,
that's true. But it was just the time that I got off. I was still at work while the meeting's going on. I definitely wanted to be there. And I'm like, send it to my email. I'll get it.
We had meals every week, and it was great. We had some folks that made meals for the group. And, it was nice. It felt like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, at least it feels like you're making progress in that area where food is concerned. And it's so sad that has to be number one, and all the food that we're shipping overseas and feeding the whole entire world. And here in our own world, our people need. And you're like, why is that?
Yeah.
Why don't they have food? Mm-hmm. You know, why they don't have money? You know, they show pictures of people in the mountains still barefoot and in the cold, and some of those things or living in shacks, you know, and you're thinking, is this the United States?
Mm-hmm.
The richest country in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And that is another issue we're trying to address is housing.
Mm-hmm.
October 15th at the Marian First Church of the Nazarene, at 6 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, from 6 p.m. to 7:30, and we're gonna have a meal from Sansodas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be a meal from Sansodas. We're gonna have a conversation about housing justice, like what does safe, affordable housing look like in Marion County, and we want people to come out and really voice their concerns and also their big ideas about like, what does housing look like for you in your house, in your neighborhood, in Marion? Why? But then also think about joining one of the action teams. We have an inside of the house action team. We have an outside of the house action team. And then we have a neighborhood action team. So
what does those teams consist of? Like, what are their duties? What do they do?
That's a good question.
So inside the house really looks at safety and affordability issues. So like the fire department is on our action team, and one of the projects we have planned is a photo voice project for people to document some of their experiences. What does your roof look like? What does your breaker box look like? And the fire department and legal aid to say what's safe, what's not safe, and what's legal for your landlord to do, what's not legal, and how do we kind of develop some action and recommendations for that. Then outside is really just looking at the exterior. So a lot of churches are involved in this action team, and they're like painting houses and cleaning up neighborhoods. They're going to do like a trash amnesty day where everyone can throw their trash out and there's no fee for your mattresses or tires or whatever.
Right.
And then the neighborhood is really led by regional planning. They're looking at how do we redesign neighborhoods and look at streetscapes and reimagine what our neighborhoods could look like.
Right.
Talk more about that too.
Yeah, pretty much my goal, my job in that is like, let's say we have a vacant lot or something that's taking place in the neighborhood. So I have the software to where I can redevelop it in a sense. So whether it's put a house on there, what would this lot look like if it had a park right here?
Mm-hmm.
What would it look like if we put this style of house right here?
Right.
Or whatever it may be, whatever the need. So visual aid is like typically really important because what I'm seeing, and this is not only with like regional planning or anybody, this is like realtors and all that. Like it's hard to kind of imagine, you know, space. Like, some people just got it. Like, you can explain, like, hey, yeah, this. Some
right.
people got it, but other people, like, no, I need to see. And seeing is believing.
That's true.
As
That's
well.
True.
So, adding that visual aid will also have resources because that's the reason why some of these things don't get awarded because they can't see it. You can
true.
Tell them all day what you can do with it, but until they see it, then they're like, oh, okay, now I see.
Right.
Now we
seeing
can,
is
now we
believing.
Can do this.
Right.
Now we can do this, and we can do it this way. And so, allowing that to at least be created and going in and changing and do whatever may need to be done for that to customize or whatever.
I think that's great.
Real important.
That very important. Seeing is believing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all know that, right?
Yes.
But I can try to paint you a picture by telling you about it. You're like, oh, I don't know yeah. about that, but
so it's my job to bring
sketch it out for me.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that works. That mm-hmm. works. That is, you know, and that is a big problem that we have. And I know we're not the only community that have blighted housing and houses that have just been abandoned. And then the blighted houses or houses that may have been livable, but when people leave those houses and you got people, hoarders coming in those houses, mm-hmm. setting up house, stealing the copper.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever gets these houses, they got to worry about replacing the copper and all that stuff. And that's a lot of money.
And I was just always wondering why the city didn't take those foreclosed homes or those abandoned homes where people have vacated their duties of paying or whatever and try to do some type of thing with putting them either on the Metropolitan before they go into all that foreclosure, because at the end of the day, the city ends up paying for it.
Yeah. One way or another, they do.
They end up paying for it, but when there's some, or like maybe a first-time homeowners program where you might not have excellent credit or anything, but while you're working on your credit, you can be making the payments to the house being yours instead of working on your credit, then trying to go through the housing thing or whatever. You know what you're promised to pay or whatever, because we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But the abandoned houses is worse than, I mean, we're building houses, but there's steady houses falling.
And this is what I typically see, and it's sort of like a theme. Like, I walk the neighborhoods at night and during the day. That's just how I kind of relieve my stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I take my daughter with me, and we just look at the houses. So typically when you see like an abandoned house or something, well, that becomes a sore eye in the neighborhood. So
true.
As a neighbor, you're like, I'm tired. Eventually, you're going to get tired of looking at it.
That's
true. I'm putting my house up for sale or I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then guess what? That house typically don't get moved back into most of the time right away. And then that becomes
another abandoned house.
Yeah. So typically, you'll see little blotches of abandoned.
True, right together.
Then life.
Right.
Life. That's life.
I'm walking down these streets and I'm seeing on each street at least 2 to 4 abandoned houses or abandoned lots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's a theme.
It's a theme.
You know, and that's what we got to try to come together as a community. Like, what can we do?
To stop that.
How can we do this? It's so many people that's in need of shelter. Why is this just sitting here dying? You know?
Yeah.
How
agree
can we
with
put
you.
Life in it? Because I look at a house, soon as life leaves a house, that house dies.
Isn't that something?
It smells funny. It just dies. But notice when somebody's living there, it always kind of kept up. It might be dirty, whatever it may be, but it has life in it. But as soon as that life leaves, you just watch everything just kind of...
That's true.
No energy.
Dwell away.
In it.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
No energy in it. And so, like, how can we change that narrative?
It rots.
Yeah.
How can we change that narrative? because there's so many people that's in need of shelters.
It is. And then there's so much, like you guys were saying, unfair housing, like even with the government housing. Like my landlord now, I'm still, he has baseboard heating. So if I didn't have like the PIP program, I would be paying $300 or $400 a month just for my electric bill.
Yeah.
On top of my $400 rent.
Yeah.
And
now, how can I afford to feed myself?
Right. Exactly.
And buy my necessities or my toiletries or food.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
we see that too frequently where people are paying 30 to 50% of their income to rent.
And bills.
And bills.
Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, honestly, that's actually how you keep a whole community poor, mm-hmm. is if people are paying 40 or 50% of true. Their income to rent and bills, then they can't invest it in college going for their young people. They can't invest it into home ownership. So,
or businesses.
Or businesses. So we do need something where a place like Toledo or Indianapolis develop community land trust, what you're saying, Dacia, okay. is like people who are low income, people who are at or below the poverty line, that they're able to get into a home and they're able to rent it, and then basically that rent money can go towards ownership.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
So,
yes.
But that would make the county and the city accountable to lifting a lot of people out of poverty, because how do you lift people out of poverty in America? Home ownership.
Mm-hmm. True.
How do you create true. Wealth in America?
Home ownership.
How do yeah. people finance college going?
Or build or businesses or anything.
Yeah, home
a lot of it is tied.
Yeah.
You have to have an asset. Mm-hmm. So I think that like those issues, these political issues, then become the vision for our organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start talking about how do we write grants together for mm-hmm. HUD mm-hmm. to bring healthy neighborhoods, because that's what we really want.
Yes.
No one ever wants, like true. I live in a neighborhood where we have six abandoned houses around one block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that means we have six abandoned houses and two empty lots. And one of the abandoned houses attracts people bringing used tires and mattresses and animals
junk, right?
and everything.
They're well, trash.
When I view my body, I yeah. don't view my body as junk. So when I look at right, my community, right. I also don't want that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we do want to set the groundwork for, because the groundwork really in Marion is very fertile for housing rights, food rights, and a lot of
that's
these things that are
that's
happening.
That's good news.
Yeah.
That's excellent news.
And that's
wow.
the key thing, you know, making things sustainable.
<I'm so> proud.
You know, making things sustainable. Like she said, she got baseboard heating. You know,
it's terrible.
And it's still cold. So, and I still have
yeah,
to, on
so
top
cold.
Of that, I
that's so like 1900.
Still have to
you know
go
I mean?
There.
So how
a heating blanket
heater.
Or
yes,
something.
And
yeah,
a heating blanket because it's so cold in here in winter.
Yeah.
That I still,
right.
You know what I mean? Because
I have two plug-in heaters with my baseboard heat and yeah. electric blankets in
yeah.
my house.
Because she's not the only one.
Right. Right.
That's not the only person
no, no.
with a house
with
a baseboard.
Right.
No, it's so outdated.
That has to look for assistance in order to pay
their bill.
That's
bill.
True.
Yeah. Like
because it's more than
it.
Their rent.
Yeah, it's more
than
rent.
My rent $475, but my electric is $430.
That's insane. That's I mean, but that is a lot of times the economy that we live in, capitalism, what it is it keeps a lot of people poor.
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
I think in order for us to shift that, it's like asking a question like, what would it look like for us to have money for your landlord or you to invest in an apartment or a complex or whatever it is, to not go away from baseboard heating, because obviously it's not energy efficient.
It's not.
Obviously
and
it's not
healthy because you're cold. You're
yeah.
still cold.
Yep.
And then with the electric heaters, then you have a fire hazard.
Yep. That's
and the fire department will talk to you all
about
it.
You have all of that. Yep. And then you got carpet. And then it's just like it's a big.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
It's a health issue.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's a
poverty
personal
issue.
Safety
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personal safety. Yeah.
Safety, poverty. Yeah.
yeah.
It all, it's on the same subline,
yeah.
really. You
and
know.
Then what happens is, and this is another theme, okay, you get tired of that situation. So now you're looking for a new house. But most of the time what happens is we take the first thing that comes along.
Yeah.
So now you got these support some of these horrible landlords, and they're like, okay, just give me first and last month rent.
My question,
and I won't do a background check or something, whatever.
My question is, why does Metro have the worst houses? And they approved the worst houses. I do not understand that.
They approved
that's
mine.
My
I didn't even have a fire. They approved mine, and I didn't even have a smoke detector in my apartment.
I mean, a lot of that comes from us as a community not holding them accountable.
Well, we've got to start holding them accountable.
So that question, like, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
and that
they're
is a great question.
Them.
Why is it the people that have the least off aren't advocated for the most or at least more, right?
Right.
I mean, they should really be at the forefront of advocating for housing rights because their creation was out of that.
Right.
It was out of the Fair Housing Act and out of a policy that was supposed to push people from, you know, out of poverty, you know, the New Deal and all these other things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I think that that's a good question.
They approved it. I was stunned.
She was right there.
Yeah.
I said, they're not going to approve this house, this apartment.
And they approved it.
And they approved it.
Yeah, but you know it's not healthy. It's really not.
You know,
and it demoralizes the person renting, and then it erodes the trust of what you have in a public agency like a Metro.
That's right.
I mean, it's it is what it is.
And then you want to know all my business. If I try to get a job or anything like that, you want to take me off of. I can't get ahead to get my own stuff, you know, or anything like that. You're trying to take me off, and then I ain't even got the money to pay my bills, and I got to quit my job to keep my Metro because I got to have somewhere to live.
Wow.
But the house is poverty. It's no good.
Yeah. And that's so real.
And that's one of the key things. Like, I sit here and I look at all this because man, Mary has so much land.
There's like spaces
from the schools when they were torn down to all these vacant lots, and I'll just be looking like, okay, can we put apartments in here? Can we make them, you know, all utilities?
Yeah, let's.
Because the government has programs out there for solar power now. Those are tax credit. You know what I mean?
Tax credit.
So that's money
back.
Okay, how can we make this efficient? Let's put up, you know, solar power panels.
Let's
do something different.
My
goal is ultimately in the future is like, to give people just that plush feeling of just having something nice.
Right.
Nice.
Something.
Why can't everybody have something nice, you know, beautiful thing they can take pride in? And I feel like the same thing with these landlords. Like, if I was a landlord, like, I would make sure I take care of my house and the people that's in it. Why? Because that's my investment. A lot of these people are taking money from it and don't want to put back into it. So why are we looking at houses that's, you know, has dirty siding on it, or why are we looking at the old houses with all the chipped paint? Like, that's so ugly. Don't nobody want to take no, they're not really going to take too much pride in it, you know? So why not, out of the 6 months, I'm going to get your house power washed, you know, at least twice throughout the year. You know, I'm going to make sure your gutters is clean during the fall, before the winter.
That opens up more jobs. So
it's little stuff in the community that we can do that, just helping, just simple stuff like that. Having money set aside for people to get those contracts.
And the one thing you did say, Timothy, is the all utilities included. Now, that's always something that could help people come out of poverty. Yeah. You give me a rent and
utilities paid.
And utilities paid $750, $800 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then all I have to do is worry about my food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta do is worry about my food.
Right.
And maybe
my phone.
Right, everything's done.
That takes a big burden off the shoulders of the person.
Of whoever's renting or renting to own or whatever the case is.
So housing is very important. It's gonna be a very big issue.
Definitely.
And people are really looking for a way out where they can, like, feel good about where they live. You know, it may not be the best, but at least it's clean and it's dry and, you know, they can be warm, you know, even if they have to put fans in. Don't have to be air conditioned, but when we look at the morality of our country and our cities and our towns, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to not have much hope about the future outlook of where they're going to be, where their children are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't move ahead. They can't move. They're like stuck in this position. And that's terrible to feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I can't move. I can't breathe. What am I going to do? You know, and you have a lot of people killing themselves. That's just real.
Yeah.
It's just real. Because they don't know. There's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least they don't see the hope. Mm-hmm. It's not coming to their door. Here I am. I'm hope, you know. Mm-hmm. There is a way out. There is a better way to mm-hmm. live, you know. And if we can focus on that as a community, which I think we're headed that way, it looks that way, and clean up our neighborhoods, you know, and hold people accountable for their neighborhoods, just don't live next to a person and their yard looks like this, even though this is not my stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying. Like you said, the trash outside and all that. So hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. Hold them accountable. The neighborhood should. We have ward people who are over our wards and stuff. They could have mm-hmm. more responsibility in our wards, you know, yeah. make sure them neighborhoods are cleaned up, send out notices and stuff like that, you know. I just think there's a lot more that we can do that we're not doing.
Instead of, you know, always projecting so much policy and regulations on people, you know, incentivize them.
Yeah.
Everybody loves, you know, some type of, you're doing good, you're feeling good, you're getting rid of a bunch of, you know.
That's good, too, yeah.
Incentivize them for doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if they do that.
Something.
I agree.
All right, go ahead. You know what? We're going to pay you to do this.
That'd be great.
Let's do that. Yeah. You know,
food voucher or something. Yeah, you know, that'd be great.
You know, give them more a little bit. If they don't want to do it, that's fine. But
we are out of time. Believe it or not, we are out of time. We will have to take up this subject another time. Thank you, Whitney, Johnny, Timothy, Dacia, for being here on the Voice of the People to chat. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I can't ever think of a student that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, because Mary Ellen Withrow was in here last week, and we talked about Hillary, and she said one of the biggest obstacles she will face is because they're harder on women.
They certainly are.
Who get older than men.
Yes.
Yeah. Hillary needs a new hairdo, though, I'll say that.
See, you would never say that about a man.
No.
Never say a man needs a new hairdo.
And that upsets me, Charlie.
Yeah, why would
no,
you say
Hillary,
that?
Hillary, her hair isn't very creative. I mean, sometimes this long, straight long, and she could look a million bucks better with a good hairdresser.
Well, why don't you write her a letter and tell her that?
Yes. Well, it would, that's one thing. You know, I like Hillary, despite all the negative things.
I would love to see a woman as president.
Yeah, they need to be.
Yes.
Yeah, to show up the men for once.
Well, but you know, Great Britain's, it's had women as the leaders.
That's right.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495, webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship. in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. In the spirit of Halloween and fall, it's now time for a Halloween poem reading right here on WWGH Radio by Charlie Evers, Mary Ann Michaels, Martha Dowse, Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Marla Gibbs, Mr. McFeely, Pat Carroll, Bud Collins, Hugh Downs, and Robert Guillaume.
Witches in two, witches who brew. These two witches are looking for you. Crows and bats, spiders too. Everything wanting to nibble on you. Halloween night, foggy and black. Make sure no one puts you in a sack. To take you far, take you away, take you where the witches play. Caves are cold, smelly too. Now you're a part of the witch's brew. Yelp, scream, kick your feet, otherwise no trick or treat.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Marilyn Meskey has the distinction of being twice crowned Miss Ohio in 1931 and 1938, and Miss America in 1938. Meskey was christened Mary Ellen Spurrier in 1917 near Lima, Ohio. While still an infant, her mother surrendered custody to her maternal grandparents, Charlie and Clara Meskey. Following her adoption, she was renamed Marilyn, given her grandmother's surname of Meskey, and reared in the family home on South Prospect.